Always on the cutting edge. Voice of the Cape Drive Time, welcome back to the show. 072-238-0712 is our WhatsApp line. Feel free to query, comment, and or criticize to matters at hand as I chase a frog away. There has been some intense debate in social media circles about a proposed conference being organized by South African black Muslims with attendance only by South African black Muslims. From what we understand, the conference aims to establish a black Muslim think tank from various backgrounds to discuss the growth and development of South African Islam. Online is well-known community leader and intellectual Tandile Khona, and he's going to tell us something about the Black Muslim Conference. Tandile, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa shafiq, and assalamu alaikum as well to your listeners. Thank you for having me.
Tandile, tell us something about the background to this particular conference. It's got social media going, that's for sure, but nobody's actually spoken to any of the organizers or any of the participants. So we're curious to find out, what is it exactly all about?
I'm glad, Shafiq, to be given this opportunity, because you are quite correct that there has been a lot of controversy around the conference, and just because of the announcement, because the conference has not yet happened, and yet no one has made an effort to reach out to the organizers, which is the Gauteng Muslim Shura, which I am not a part of, although they have been consulted in most of the steps that have been taken, and I am in support of the conference being held. The background with regards to the conference is that black Muslims in South Africa have come to a point of realization that their destiny is in their hands. They need to do something about their conditions, which in most cases are unique to them. And they've taken a decision to get together to discuss around the resolution of some of the problems that we are facing as black Muslims, residing mainly in large part in the townships. So that's the broad and the general background around the conference. It came about as a result of many of talks that have been going on for quite some time about the need for us to get together across sectarian divides. I must stress that, to sit down and to try and push a way forward for black Muslims within the broader Muslim community in South Africa.
Yeah, Tandile, you just made an important critical point, I think, that the black Muslim community, we're going to have to use these labels in South Africa.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, is not exempt from the sectarian problems that the greater community experiences. I'm sure I'm correct when I say that. So yeah. I think what that does, it throws into sharp focus the critical importance of what we're actually talking about, doesn't it?
It definitely does. We were not exempt. We also face those challenges, and in a way, we must deal with them. And on top of those sectarian challenges that we have further challenges of poverty, of inequality with regards to, you know, in especially when compared to the rest of the Muslim community. We have other challenges as well in terms of the education levels amongst the black Muslim community. So we're trying to address those kinds of socio-economic issues amongst black Muslims.
Now, in terms of the conference taking place, I've been aware for some time as a journalist in the community that there's been a lot of dissatisfaction in the black Muslim community. Tandile, we have to be honest about these things, that people have been very cynical about what I've been told is called ice cream dawah, hit and run dawah, biryani dawah, that people think they're doing good, but in fact they're not doing anything. Is that part of the problem?
Yes, that's partly the problem. But that's not the main aim why we've organized this conference. We've not organized this conference because of dissatisfaction. It's not a conference where we're going to go and complain about things. It's a conference where we're going to sit down and discuss the issues in a rational manner and try and come up with solutions to our problems. So the conference is not, as it has been termed, I've heard some people saying that it's an anti-Indian conference, an anti-this conference. It's not anti-anyone. Mm-hmm. The conference only aims at resolving the issues that we are facing as black Muslims in South Africa, in the South African context.
Yeah, and just to go back to the point that you made, I would agree as a journalist who sees the whole spectrum of the community. I would support you in the sense that the black Muslim community of South Africa does experience problems that we could most definitely categorize as unique, because it's not the same problems, for example, and here again we have to be ethnic about it, that the Indian community has it, the Malay community has it, the colored community has it, the white community has. Unfortunately, apartheid, yeah, it was done away with 23 years ago, but there are still many remnants of it.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. The problems that we face, you know, the Malay community and the Indian community have an established Islamic culture. They have the way that they practice their Islam that is informed by their cultural background, which is something that you don't find largely in the black Muslim community. You would find the Muslim community, the black Muslim community, broken down into Muslims who are, you know, more in line with the Malay way of practicing Islam or with the Indian way of practicing Islam, you know. So we're trying to bridge those divides, and we're also trying to create an identity of a black Muslim in South Africa. And I want to stress this, that in my view, Indians and Malays are black people. But for the purposes of this discussion, and this, when I'm talking about black Muslims, I'm talking about indigenous Muslims. But in my view, I consider Indians and Malay Muslims as black people, even though some of them don't consider themselves as black people, unfortunately.
Yes, in fact, I think that is a moot point that you are making there in terms of the discussion. But again, Tandile, we have to be honest in the sense that if you and I were to travel through Africa, and people forget that Africa is 60-70% Muslim anyway. Yeah. If we were to go to northern Nigeria, or to go to southern Niger, or to Algeria,
Senegal,
or Senegal, where there's a massive Muslim population, we would see Islam, but we would not see the kind of Islam you would see in the Burkap, or Fordsburg, or Durban, for example. It's a different Islam. It's still Islam, but it's different. It's got its own identity.
Yes, that's correct. You know, you find the Islam in Senegal, that it's an Islam that has been localized. People can identify with, they practice their Islam in their own way. They remain Muslims, there's no doubt about it, but their Islam is distinct in the sense that it's got a local flavor to it. But you don't find that amongst the Muslims, the black Muslims in South Africa. That is simply because of what you referred to earlier, that the way we've received the dawah is your, what you call your biryani dawah or your ice cream dawah, where you are told that you are a Muslim only if you practice Islam in the way that I'm telling you to practice it.
In fact, I agree with that personally. I've always had huge problems with isiZulu person, for example, having to become an Indian to be a Muslim, or isiXhosa having to become a Malay to become Muslim, because that's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? Because surely the point is we can still have our cultures, whatever they may be, and we can still be Muslim. Culture is what enriches us as long as it doesn't go against Sharia.
Yes, that's true. I agree with you fully. In that, we as black Muslims, we're caught between a rock and a hard place. Because when you become Muslim, your family sort of distances itself from you because they say you've adopted an Indian religion.
Uh-huh, yes.
And then you got into the Muslim community. You know, you're also not fully accepted there because there's this unsaid notion that you are partly part of us, but not fully part of us. So we're sort of in limbo because we don't have a sense of belonging. So we're trying to create and build a community of black Muslims where all of us are going to belong in. So that's what we're trying to do, amongst other things. There are also economic issues, there are also other issues, political issues, and other issues that we want to sit down and talk about when we meet during that weekend of that conference, inshallah.
Has one of the biggest problems been, and this is just my perception, you can tell me whether I'm right or wrong, that when it comes to leadership, particularly leadership amongst the scholars, and there are black South African Muslim scholars, that they have been denied significant leadership positions within the community. If we were to go to any of our bodies, as it were, we're not going to see any blacks, are we?
That's true, and it's not only that's not only limited to leadership. You know the irony about all of this, when this whole hullabaloo about the conference erupted, I sat and thought about it. I would have been pleased if there was this much controversy and noise about some of the constitutions in our masajids that explicitly exclude anyone else other than a certain ethnic Indian group from being part of the trustees.
Mm-hmm.
We have ulama organizations that are Indian only. I would have been glad as a Muslim, as a Indian Muslim, if there was this much noise about those kinds of injustices in our community. Yeah. But of course, you know, we were all shocked when there was this much noise. But why is there so much noise? Why can't we sit amongst ourselves and talk? Why is there this fear that when we sit as black Muslims, we're going to be talking badly about Indians? Because that's not what the conference is about. We have no interest in slandering anyone or talking badly about anyone. The only interest that we have is to try and build a community of black Muslims in South Africa with an Islam that has a local flavor, that is indigenized, that we can identify with, and that people around us who are non-Muslim can also see themselves in it.
You know, in essence, I think we've actually forgotten our heritage. If you go back to the days of Tuan Guru, 1794, 1793, when he opened his first school, yes. Tuan Guru opened the first non-racial school in Southern Africa. He was way ahead of the curve on that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the people who attended his school, they came from Zanzibar, they came from Mozambique, West Africa, yeah. East Africa, the Far East, all around the world, that at one stage we had it right, and somewhere down the line we just lost the plot.
Yes, that's very true. You know, you find that in the, especially in the Cape, and in some places in KZN as well, there's a silent denial of the African heritage that is there. The Malay community there is not only a community from the Indian archipelago or anywhere. There are people there who have can trace their ancestry to East Africa.
Mm-hmm.
There are people there who can trace their ancestry all the way to Yemen. But there's been this silence about the African heritage amongst the Muslims in South Africa, you know. So we need to perhaps come to terms with the fact that we've failed as a community as a whole. Now I'm talking about all Muslims now. We've failed to actually live up to, you know, the values and live up to the ethos that was, you know, bequeathed to us by people like Tuan Guru and others. They've dismally failed. So something needs to be done, and the black Muslims have decided to start where they are in their communities and get together to try and push a way forward.
Yeah, I think what I'm not prescribing anything. I think what needs to happen is that we need to understand our history. Let me give another anecdotal example, Tandile. The karamats that you find in places such as Oudekraal and the sides of the mountain,
yes.
Who showed those people where to go? It was the Khoi, because, for example, from Cape Town to Hout Bay, there was a well-known trail that the Khoi used to use, except Van Riebeck wiped them out in 1656. But those who could remember told the early Muslim slaves, those are the places where you can go and hide. They were told yes. by our indigenous African people.
Yes, that's a history that needs to be told, Shafiq. That is a history that we need to tell to our children so that they can know that they've been part of this community. Black Muslims are not new to Islam in this country. They've always been there, but there needs to be an unveiling of this silence that has been there.
Do you think there also needs to be some kind of remembrance of the early pioneers? I have the fondest memories of the late Hassan Gila, and the stories that he used to tell me. There isn't enough time to talk about them on radio. A very humble man, his struggles, in fact the racism that he had to endure, being told he wasn't an Indian, so he couldn't go to certain mosques. But the fact that these people were there, they've always been there, but somehow they've been passed over by history.
Yeah. On top of having to remember them, I think we need to atone as well.
Mm-hmm.
We need to atone as a community for the injustices that have been I mean, there are people like, Mbatuli in Guanabuche that in Colombo that we remember every year, we have a Remembrance Day, but we also need to atone in how we feel them and how they've been discriminated against in this community. Very sad stories that I've listened to of elderly people who are discriminated against, but they stayed with Islam, they stayed in this community until the end, and they left it to their children, and they left it to us. They paved the way for us, they pioneered and paved the way for us in this case, in the township of Guanabuche. So we need, as a community, to atone for the wrongs that we have done to them, and then move forward from them.
Indeed, I think a lot of academic papers, a lot of books have to be written, and I think books have to be written that our young people can read and understand, because I think what we're essentially talking about here is what I would actually call it the hidden heritage, and there's pockets of it, but unfortunately nobody's put it all together to actually give the bigger picture.
Yes, that's true. I just want to read to you a statement on this conference.
Please do.
The target audience for this conference. It's just one line. It says the program is open to all the Muslims who have interest in developing Islam amongst the black Muslims in our countries.
Right.
So this that what has been going around, that this conference excludes Indians, this conference excludes Malays. There is nothing like that in the concept paper of this conference. The people who have been spreading this, unfortunately, have not even had the decency of contacting the organizers of the conference to ask. The conference, yes, it's targeted at discussing issues amongst black Muslims and black Muslims discussing their own issues, but we will not chase people away from attending the conference. We need them to respect the aim of the conference, but black Muslims want to sit in the conference and discuss their own issues. If people come with that mentality of respecting that aim, they are welcome to attend the conference and observe what is happening in the conference.
In fact, perhaps the best thing for people to do would be to come to sit and listen, because I don't think there has been enough listening going on.
That's very true. And the unfortunate part is that already there have been attempts at sabotaging the conference, at venues that we were targeting to book. We've been told that they are booked out and broken. So there have already been attempts at sabotaging the conference. But I must say that the conference will happen, whether it happens under a tree or anywhere, it will happen.
And Tandile, let's just sort of do the commercial side of the conference. Where is it taking place and what are the dates? I mean, somebody listening to us right now might actually want to go to the conference. So tell us something about where it's happening and the dates.
The conference will be happening in Johannesburg. The dates are the 19th to the 21st of April, inshallah. We had a venue in mind, but as I say to you, that we had targeted a certain venue, spoke to the owners of the venue. When we came back, we were told that there's too much controversy around this conference. The venue has been booked to someone else. So we're still trying to get a venue. There's also been ideas of putting up a big marquee somewhere in Midrand and have the conference. So as soon as we're able to secure a venue, we will make an announcement with regards to that. But for now, the conference is set for the 19th to 21st of April in Johannesburg, inshallah.
Tandile Corner, who is a participant at the Black Muslim Conference, and Tandile has explained it, exactly how it's operating. It's not exclusivist in any sense, but there are certain critical issues that have to be addressed and they have to be discussed. Tandile Corner, who is a well-known community leader, activist, academic, many hats. Shukran, thanks for talking to us, and everything of the best with the conference.
Thank you very much for having me, Shafiq. I hope that this is the first of many discussions leading to the conference. In terms of when we develop fully the program of the conference, we hope to be able to have this platform as well to debate with the rest of the community about the conference, inshallah.
Absolutely. We're on board. We're behind you. Don't worry about that.
Okay. Shukran.
Have fun.